This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
All right, a couple items and we'll dig into the good news from last night. The Astros win 8-5. Rockets lose 109-106. They trail the Warriors 3-1. It'll be interesting to see the energy in the arena tomorrow night when they come back here to try to salvage the series and salvage their season and salvage us from weeks and weeks of Kevin Durant talk. To clean up some things we talked about in the previous segment, we had a texter text in and say, Jalen Green is, it looks like shades of a young James Harden the way Jalen Green is playing, to which Seth and I both immediately said, that's an insult to James Harden. We're not here to like put the shield on and protect James Harden unconditionally.
Yeah, it just,
give us the numbers, Seth.
Jalen Green has scored in the double digits once so far in the playoffs.
Four games.
Yeah, out of four games. In 85 playoff games with the Rockets, James Harden never scored in the single digits.
Correct.
He did score in the single digits on his way to the double digits. So he had 85 games.
He go from 0 to 10, yes.
In the lows, there was a 12 somewhere. There was a 17. Yeah. It was like James Harden, for all of his flaws and faults and the reasons with, let's not rewrite history here.
Right.
Like, to compare Jalen Green to James Harden in any capacity, especially now in the playoffs. You know who was clutch in the playoffs? Compared to Jalen Green?
Oh, James Harden.
James Harden.
Yeah, he made a lot of big shots, man. Yeah, like, come on. James Harden was first team All-NBA about the time he set foot in Houston, and he was out of the shadows of Durant and Westbrook. Like, stop it already with that comparison.
This will be the one, the one saving grace is if, let's say hypothetically, the Rockets lose this next game, but Jalen Green goes off.
Yeah.
Hey, he's good in a closeout game. There you go. But he was clutch in a closeout game.
36 points, 2 turnovers. Take that, Harden. What happened? Well, they lost in 5. Yeah. And by the way, one quick news item. I know we got headlines coming up, but worth mentioning here. George Kittle becomes the highest paid tight end in football. It was Trey McBride for about 3 weeks with Arizona. He had 4 years, $76 million. Kittle had been agitating for a new deal. He gets 4 years, $76.4 million, proving that the 49ers can continue to pay some of these guys, even with the cap issues that are pending with the Brock Purdy extension.
I hope that Luke Lachey is paying attention.
Yes.
There you go.
Young
tight end out of Iowa.
Yeah, man. Day three tight end out of Iowa, like Kittle.
I hope Luke Lachey says something like that in his first press conference.
Yes.
Hey, I'm just trying to get that Kittle money.
Trying to get that bag, that Kittle bag.
Yeah, well, did he mention, I didn't listen to Luke Lachey's press conference or phone call afterwards. I wonder if, at some point when he's first here in Houston, we'll have to ask him about George Kittle and
These Iowa tight ends. Yeah, I mean, that's Iowa's, Hockenson and Laporta. Like, if you're going to take a flyer on a tight end in the 7th round, Iowa's a good place to go do it, I would say. They're good at what they do. Astros 8-5 last night over the Tigers. The things we liked about this: one, the Tigers have the best record in the American League. I've not been paying a ton of attention to the standings, Seth, just because I've been like, as long as the Astros have not really kind of gone on that little bit of run that gets them a little bit of daylight.
You've been driving in the right lane. You're in the right lane, and you got it on the auto cruise, and you're like, I got other stuff to go on. I'm trying to read my texts here, okay?
Okay,
worry about passing at some point
after
we get a few other things in order.
I'm just putting my head down and going to work, man, is all I'm doing. So, but the Tigers, still, even after the loss last night, have the best record in the American League, so we like that. I like that they got punched in the face early in this game. Renell Blanco gave up a couple of home runs. I think this is who Renell Blanco is going to be, Seth, a 5-inning, 3-run guy. That's what he's been thus far this season. So if Renell Blanco happens to be pitching on a night where the bats are a little bit warm, they won the last outing Renell Blanco had. They scored a bunch of runs for him in that one as well. Then, if he's going to keep you in the game, you got to go score some runs. I like that they got punched in the face early here, and Christian Walker gets you a 2-run homer. Jose Altuve nearly hits the train tracks with a home run. And then you pile on a few runs, just stringing together a bunch of hits late in the game. and you go on to win 8-5. The bats were solid. It was kind of like they had that game late last week where everybody had a hit in the game. Everybody but Chaz had a hit in this game. Everybody was doing a little something to move the pinwheel around here.
There were a couple things in that game that were nice. One was Jeremy Pena hitting leadoff. I like it. I like it a lot. As well as everything Jeremy Pena has been doing this year.
Yep.
And Altuve had that bunt, which was a beautifully laid down bunt initially.
First
called
at bat,
out.
Yeah, yeah.
Then it was turned over. But the Cam Smith on the base pass, and the Astros are really putting an emphasis on aggressive base running. And Dubon pops one up to short center field. Cam Smith just hit the Jets.
Mm-hmm.
Hit the Jets. Almost caught Yiner in front of him.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just a good read on the ball. And if it were Altuve would have hit the Jets too, but it would have been an uninformed hitting of the Jets.
Yeah,
I feel like Cam Smith, with all of his experience in the outfield now, has a real good feel on tracking that. But for a rookie to be aggressive like that, that was nice to see.
Altuve might have had his best defensive play as an Astro in left field, in a play where actually where Baez actually, you know, it was a double off the wall that Baez was actually safe for. But the way Altuve played it off the wall barehanded and spun and threw all in one motion and threw, it wasn't a dime, but it was for Altuve and for what his reputed arm strength is. It was a really good throw to second base. He almost got Baez at second base. Like, Altuve, again, he didn't get him out, but like, we're just this early in this experiment, we're just looking for signs that Altuve looks like a big league left fielder. He made a really nice catch right after that as well. I thought that was a really encouraging sign right there.
And I think that if you look at some of the blips early on, it was stuff that it's, you know, I shy away from saying, hey, that's a simple fix.
Yeah.
Because sometimes simple fixes end careers. Guys can't make a simple fix and it ends somebody's career in golf. Especially. So I think some of them, though, him transitioning the ball from the glove to his hand, that was a little bit of a blip early on. Some of the harder elements of maybe picking up that position at his advanced age, I think he's done really well with, is getting a read on the ball. And then his ability to play off the caroms off the left field wall, especially at home, he's had a few nice instances of that.
Mm-hmm.
They're setting up properly and waiting for the ball to come down to him after it goes off the left field scoreboard. And that's been really encouraging.
Yeah.
So far, the thing is, he's declined athletically, but it's not like he's decrepit.
No.
You know, he's just a slower version of what he used to be, and it was hurting him at second base. It's not going to be an issue in left field, especially at home.
He figured out the solution in the glove-to-hand transfer. Just don't use your glove. Just barehanded.
You should go out there barehanded.
Just barehanded. That's the solution. Then you don't have to transfer anything. Boy, we got a lot of texts rolling in on the Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer text line. Draymond should have been kicked out of the game. Since when is a flagrant never been a tech? Am I that old now?
At that point he had four personal fouls, a technical and a flagrant, and Draymond plays on.
That's
play. I mean, we knew this coming into it. They try like hell not to eject Draymond Green.
It's wild, man. I've never seen anything like it in sports, where there's a guy. There's one thing to operate with like a different mode of defending people or getting away with certain things within the play. It's another thing for the officials to tolerate like just literal disrespect and just out.
Like stuff
just,
that gets anybody else a technical, going up and yelling at the official, yelling at, stuff like that.
Yes, that's the thing. It's like the stuff that gets tolerated, and there's certainly plenty of stuff that gets tolerated by Draymond, like inside the lines, but he's a very good defensive player, and he's a championship player on a team that's been a dynasty team. These are the things that happen with officiating in sports, especially basketball. Those teams tend to get more breaks, even if the league waves their hands and says, no, they don't. It's the stuff that is just blatant, like demeaning and disrespectful to the refs that they put up with. It's wild to me.
He gets the leniency typically afforded only to really hot young women.
Yes.
And Draymond is very much the opposite.
Not
of
a
that.
Hot young woman.
He
no.
is not a hot young woman
not even
at
a hot
all.
Man. No.
You know, you'll put up with a lot with a kind of a head case of a woman for at least 6 months in a relationship.
She's hot.
You know, it's decades of the opposite of a hot young woman getting the benefit of the doubt.
It's wild.
And we
man.
Can't stand for this. This is America, damn it.
Yep. It's wild. The Rockets text message: the Rockets don't make a lot of high IQ plays. They don't. I don't even know it's a basketball IQ thing. They don't have an offense. Like their offense, they're half the time Fred VanVleet, at least early in the game. Finally, he was kind of taking ownership of the basketball, but they're early in the game. I don't know why they ever let Jalen Green engineer the offense, but they do. They have a real bad habit as a team of A, bleeding down the shot clock for no reason, especially when Fred's not handling the basketball, and B, just dribbling into traffic and picking up their dribble. And they spend 5 or 6 minutes just hemming and hawing, trying to get the ball to an open guy to reset things, and they wind up with bad shots. They just if Ime Udoka were an NFL head coach, he would be highly criticized as a guy who's like a defense-only guy. You know, like their offense looks ratchet as hell all the time. And they've got talented basketball players. The problem is they don't have any snipers. They don't have any real shooters. And that gunks things up for them. And that's going to be something they need to address.
Well, they'll have stretches where they play with flow and ball movement and everything else. But it ends up feeling like you're at a 13-year-old's piano recital. We're like, oh, look at that.
Yeah.
He's really nailing Old Town Road. Like, oh.
For 30 seconds.
This sucks.
Yeah.
You got to get out of here. Let me check the Astros score.
Exactly. All right. Exactly. Get on my phone. That's the thing. I don't know that it's an IQ issue. I think it's more of I think it's this collection of talent. There's limitations on what this team can do offensively.
They can't shoot. They can't shoot. They just they flat out can't shoot. Yeah. I get it. I've gotten to the point where I get angry when they hit a three. Because Fred VanVleet has a great night shooting from deep. And the entire time, I'm like, well, yeah, but okay, great. Yeah, I mean, this will sustain you through 7 games. Sure. Yeah. Sure, old Mr. 25%er there.
Dude,
and that's from the field on a good night in these playoffs.
Did you see his pull-up three last night?
I got angry.
That was pretty dope. Went in, man. Yeah, it was pretty sweet.
I know.
Yeah. Much of the NBA is hard to watch with current announcers now. Someone saying that Mark Jackson and JVG, that they miss Mark Jackson and Jeff Van Gundy. Reggie Miller, Doris Burke, yuck. Admittedly, I've been watching the game on the local feed, so I have not been keeping in tune with, other than through social media and people irate at Reggie Miller, including you, Seth. You watched the TNT feed last night. I guess Reggie Miller was pretty bad.
Reggie Miller was just botching his description of what was going on in some of these foul situations. It was really weird.
Was the presence of Kevin Harlan enough for you to enjoy it at least, or was Reggie's ineffectiveness drowning out Kevin Harlan for you?
It was damaging my relationship with Kevin Harlan.
Okay, I don't like
Reggie
that.
Miller was a third wheel on the date. I felt like he was a drunk chaperone on a date I was trying to have with Kevin Harlan.
Yeah.
No, I didn't enjoy it at all. Let me tell you one thing about Mark Jackson and Jeff Van Gundy.
Yeah.
I'm a huge fan of tangents, as you know, and yet there were too many tangents within the broadcast at times with those guys.
Yeah.
There would be critical stuff going on, and I felt like I was watching the Manning cast.
Yeah.
Where sometimes they're having a conversation with a guest, and there's a really critical moment in the game, and you're like, all right, guys, could you get Kevin Love to watch the TV screen a little bit for a moment?
That's why I don't watch the Manning cast. I literally don't watch the Manning cast. Yeah. At least with Van Gundy, like 60% of the time, the tangent was about Houston sports.
It'd
be about the Texans or the Astros.
I liked Van Gundy when he's not in a three-man team because he could kind of sneak in these little asides and everything. But when you put him on a three-man team and he and Mark Jackson get along great, it ends up just being too much like you're listening to Payne and Pendergast while you're watching a basketball game.
Yes, there you go. The Rockets' offense is the University of Houston's offense. There's some similarities. I actually tweeted this last night. And I'm being dead serious. The Rockets need to go on the Kelvin Sampson 150 made free throws a day plan in this offseason.
Right. Well, and I think the bigger difference, though, too, is that the Rockets are focused on defense and yet aren't a great defensive team.
Yeah.
And the Cougs are a great defensive team. The Rockets are a scrappy team that plays good defense but gets a lot of offensive rebounds. Their best defense in some respects is just the extra possessions they get from offensive rebounds.
Mm-hmm.
So just like I think it's an insult to James Harden to say that Jalen Green is a younger version of James Harden. Likewise, it's a bit of an insult to the Cougs to say that this Rockets defense is like a Cougs defense.
Well, they're talking about the offense. They said Rockets offense, the offense is the Cougs offense. Yeah.
Well, okay, the Cougs can get away with this that offense because they have a really, really genuinely good
defense.
They're
playing Kansas State, and they're playing, you know, like,
they don't have to score 100 points to win a championship.
No, they don't. Reed Sheppard was supposed to be our sniper, right? And we used a high draft pick on him. That's a text message. Yeah. I'm still bullish on Reed Sheppard. Ime Udoka is not all of a sudden going to start using Reed Sheppard for 15 minutes in this series. Or maybe he does. I don't know. Three-point shooting was not the main issue last night. Foul shooting was the issue last night. And I think Jalen Green's inability to get anything going and Şengün's inability to get anything going with Draymond Green on the floor. Those are the big issues. And coming out cold to start each half. That's it. Period.
Reed Sheppard has the odd distinction right now of having upside down field goal percentage and 3-point percentage. So this season he shot 33.8% from deep. I got that reversed up. Never mind. Carry on. Barely any better with his field goal percentage at 35.1.
Well, it's all he does is shoot threes. Yeah, so I'm surprised they're not identical. Payne and Pendergast with you. Let's get to the headlines. We'll get to the Texans. We'll circle back to the Texans at the top of the hour. What are the experts saying about the Texans draft? What's their GPA? What's their grade? We'll get to that top of the hour. We'll get to headlines coming up next.